Hello, this is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. Are you stuck on a habit or a behavior? Do you feel embarrassed that you've tried to find a way out and it hasn't worked yet? If so, this show is for you. You could be frustrated about a small habit that just bugs you, or maybe you're dealing with an addiction, more serious stuff that affects you and everybody around you. Well, if you're ready to create a different future for yourself, then this show is for you too. It's important not to fall into blame. A lot of habit change techniques out there don't work for everyone. There are a lot of great skills to practice and try out, especially with today's technology. There are apps that you get for your phone or your notebook, or messages you get on Twitter, for instance. But the truth is while other people might seem to have the same behavior as you, let's take smoking as an example, this show is about developing skills that exist underneath your way of engaging in your habit. So your situation is unique to you, and that means your solutions are unique to you as well. What the Habits into Health perspective brings you are holistic approaches to waking yourself up. We especially focus on letting your body guide this process rather than pressuring from the brain. I call this letting your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. And of course, the thinking part of your brain is involved, but as a servant, not as a dictator. In today's show, we're going to use the ordinary experience of walking to guide you in developing an important skill for moving yourself toward a future that is free from your problem habit. And in every podcast, we collect ourselves. We prepare the way so that you're attuning to your sensory self. You get to practice letting your body lead in a very practical way through an experiential exercise for just a minute or two. If you're listening for the first time, just know that there's no right way or wrong way to engage. There's only your way, and your way today will be different from your way at another time. And if for some reason you're in the middle of some kind of activity and following my suggestions isn't an exact fit, well, you get to improvise and make it work for you. You can always listen again at another time when you can follow along more directly. Today we're going to play with the movements associated with walking, even if walking isn't something you can do for one reason or another. Let's get started. The focus is on your feet today. So let's start, let's say, with the left foot. You can be standing, sitting, or lying down at this point. Lift your left foot a little bit and hold it there while I ask this question. What did you do in order to lift your foot? Now, this might seem like a silly question, but bear with me. It's anything but. Bring your foot down for a moment, and I'll say more. Now begin to lift your left foot, but don't actually lift off. What muscular activity have you engaged? I'll give you some examples. Some of them might fit for you. Remember, there's no right or wrong, only your unique experience. Is your thigh tightened, for instance, or maybe your butt? Do you stiffen in your belly, maybe? What's happening in your jaw or your lips, even? What do you do in your back? And then how about on your right side or in your arms? Now, as best as you can, be attentive to what happens when you stop beginning to lift your left foot. Just undo that practice of beginning. Do you become aware of other activities that are going along for the ride? When you lift your left leg, you're doing more than lifting your leg, aren't you? This is something that used to be quite a bit of work when you were first learning it. And how long ago was that? Today, unless you're recovering from injury or dealing with certain kinds of illnesses, or unless you've suffered an experience that created paralysis, you routinely pick up your left foot without forethought. And that also means that stuffed in the background is awareness of a whole organization in yourself that participates in lifting your foot. Now, begin to lift your foot again, and then take it further by lifting into the air. Notice what happens, say, inside your mouth, with your tongue and your cheeks. What happens as you lift off? What about in the calf of your leg or your lower back? And what about your right foot and leg? As you begin to take flight, what happens in you? This is a moment of risk, isn't it? Do you trust that your right foot and leg and your hips and back will hold you as you propel yourself into this flight? Because flying is what it is. It's an act of trust to let your left foot leap into the air, risking the future. Now, if you aren't already standing, do so now and lift your left foot in preparation for taking a step. Notice anything you're doing that participates in a movement forward. And let your left foot fall forward. Let it land. This is falling, isn't it? Which is also an act of trust. Aren't you trusting that you'll be able to catch yourself, to land, to be steady enough to hold this foot firm so you can lift now with your right foot and propel it forward, fly and fall? Perhaps for now you can continue to walk, even if it's just around your room or wherever you are, as we move forward from this exercise to discussing our topic. And that is my number 10 tip for supporting your habit change, which is taking the risk to fly and fall. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and you are listening to Habits Into Health. And I'm a holistic therapist and addiction specialist, bringing this podcast with a message of hope and possibility for you in your journey to get unstuck from those habits and behaviors that don't serve you. If you're ready to shed the shame of the past, find freedom as you grow, and form a future of rewards and lifelong deep recovery, Habits Into Health programs for you. You can find out more at habitsintohealth.com. Now let's talk about flying and falling. You might think that I have those backwards. I mean, don't we start with the hard part, get to the great part? And isn't falling something we want to avoid and flying something we want to experience? Yeah, but maybe that's only because we've built associations around those concepts. Falling is bad, flying is good. If you've ever had a dream where you're flying or falling, you know that either can be scary or thrilling depending on the dream. It is kind of interesting to me that in the ordinary act of walking, we fly first and fall next. They are actually partners in a process of moving forward. Turns out they're also partners in the problem as well. So let's take that habit or problem behavior or addiction that you're dealing with. When you're engaged in it, what's the feeling? Do you talk about the high? That's pretty common with some activities like alcohol, drug use, or gambling, or sexual experiences. Smokers often talk about a feeling of release, a kind of high, and overeaters will describe the that comes with emotional eating of that comfort food. In the beginning, it's the high that often pulls you, right? Of course, the problem is that the high signals a crash and burn, like a fall from grace. When the high has reached its peak, there's an aftermath, the hangover, the headaches, the exhaustion, anger, disappointment, even blame. And the swing sure seems like it's from high to low, from flying to falling. But you know, if you're like some people, you're living, or maybe you used to live, at well below zero. The low is the start, and just getting to zero, well, that's better than minus 10 or 20, right? I think it's closer to the truth that just like walking, dealing with unhealthy habits and addictions is a cycle, a swing between one frame that pulls for the high and another that pulls for the low, each of them only a small point in the entire cycle. Many years ago when I was in school, one of my teachers, a fellow named Stuart Heller, had us start by taking the shape of four points in the cycle. There was the low, midway to the high, midway to the low. You could start anywhere on the cycle. And we were trained to be attentive to our experience of ourselves at these four parts of the cycle without running away from it. For me, the low was curled up, and midway up was reaching. The high was dancing, and midway down was sinking. That was just my experience. And here are some other suggestions. If you're a word person, for instance, you could find your words for each of these parts by journaling. Or you could just find a word to summarize each. For instance, the low might be despair. Midway to the high could be longing. The high might be grandiosity, followed by disappointment. If you're naturally drawn to sounds, then you could identify or make sounds that reflect each place. A moan, the sound of uplifting breath, a clap or a cheer, a sigh. And if you're a visual person, it might come by seeing colors or by drawing or painting your felt experience. Whichever way you go, whatever way works for you, recovery is an invitation first to be awake in it. And that's the paradox, because the behavior seduces you into sleep at the same time as you're trying to wake up. Don't pay attention to me and what I'm doing to you, it whispers. Oh, take another sip or a chew or a toke or a bet, and I'll help you forget what I'm doing to you. Don't you pay attention. For most of us, the decision to wake up is one we make over and over again. I've met plenty of people who say they quit cold turkey. And upon inquiry, it turns out they had already set a decision into motion, even if they hadn't acted on it yet. They had prepared themselves in some way, even if closing the door on the old behavior and never going back looks like a one-time decision. For most of us, though, these changes are probably not going to come as a singular event, a spiritual awakening that zaps you one magical time. No, more than likely, you'll be walking this road toward recovery by testing yourself over and over. You'll pick yourself up, stretch yourself into the next step, then falter, fall, and pick yourself up again. Tip number 10 is to accept this as part of your flying, falling learning curve and to name the stages when you recognize them. In the beginning, you're probably just lost no matter what. You just know you're unhappy. You want something to change. People will tell me that it's as if they're watching a movie. It's just happening to them, and there's a kind of a distance. And if that's true for you, the path to getting unstuck is going to start with just owning that you don't know. Trying to force something on yourself is likely to keep you stuck. You can keep listening to these podcasts, especially the experiential practices, because they are designed for self-learning. Over time, they'll help you practice what to watch for. Your awareness in yourself will grow at new and different levels. And know that you're not going to catch yourself every time. You might wake up one time in 10 and the rest of the time feel lost. That's okay. Eventually that will change. In time, you will discover where in the cycle you wake up. You might recognize that you're stuck at the bottom of the curve. I'm not talking about the kind of hitting bottom that folks in 12-step programs talk about, because you might be at a bottom in your current cycle, but aren't hitting your lowest bottom. Or let's say that you tend to wake up when you're slipping from the high on the descent toward bottom. Same thing applies. Give it a name. Own it. Identify the feelings of being here. This is what I feel right now. And if it helps, give it a number. But also, for you, that might be too much thinking. Better yet, to anchor the feeling in your body. I feel anxious in my chest, tight in my jaw. I have this tension headache. My legs are achy. I feel wearied or tired in my face. Yes, your problem habit may seem like your enemy right now, but naming the feelings and consequences that are associated with this behavior is the key to your path out of this darkness. The first step in any change involves a level of attentiveness, particularly to what is at the start. It's kind of like taking your pulse before you jog and then checking it later, or in a scientific experiment, getting a baseline of data. Knowing the place that you start means everything when it comes to changing a habit, behavior, or, you know, even a serious addiction. It helps you recognize not just the risk that occurs when you're flying high or when you're in the falling down part, but all the stages in between. They're a package all wrapped up together. And in this package, before recovery, they're wrapped up in keeping you asleep. Starting to wake up does take attention, takes some effort, but it's not impossible. You can get there. I'm going to sign off for now. If you're feeling stuck and frustrated about a behavior that you haven't been able to change, you can go to habitsintohealth.com and get my free self-assessment questionnaire. It'll get you started. And then stay tuned to this podcast for weekly reinforcement. And if you want more personalized support for creating your path to freedom, you can find out more at habitsintohealth.com/get-support, SUPPORT. /get-support. And you know, it's important to remember, in Habits Into Health, we start small and practice kindness along the way. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.